Vacation Bible School will be here before you know it. You can register beginning today, June 3 through 6. It's right around the corner. That's always a fantastic week. And so register today, your children, your grandchildren, your neighbors. If you're volunteering, we want you to register as soon as you can. Well, I have taught university students for many years. I've taught for the last 19 years at Dallas Baptist University. Before that, at my last church, I taught at Wayland Baptist University. They have an extension there in Wichita Falls, and I taught there for a number of years. Before that, I taught seminary extension for a number of years. I've written courses that different universities use. I'm writing one now that's going to be used in 2025 at DBU in the doctoral level, looking at various methods for students to interact with the material, with professors, with other students. But one of the things I've noticed through the years is it's always a mystery to me why some students get it and others don't. You ever wonder that? Why do some students get it and others never do? I mean, it's the same lectures, it's the same material, same textbook, same assignments. Some get it and some don't. As we approach Mark chapter 4, Jesus wondered the exact same thing. He's talking about to the disciples about his teaching methods, which was parables, and he was the best at it. And he addressed, why do some people get it and some don't? And he actually tells us why. Read with me Mark 4, starting in verse 1. And he began to teach beside the sea, and a very large crowd gathered about him, so that he got into a boat and sat on the sea. And the whole crowd was beside the sea on the land. And he was teaching them many things in parables. And in his teaching, he said to them, listen, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell along the path, and the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil, and immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. And when the sun rose, it was scorched, and since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked it, and it yielded no grain. And other seeds fell into the good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. And when he was alone, those around him with the 12 asked him about the parables. And he said to them, to you has been given the secret of the kingdom of God, but for those outside, everything is in parables, so that they may indeed see but not perceive, may understand, or indeed hear, but not understand, lest they should turn and be forgiven. And he said to them, do you not understand this parable? How then will you understand all parables? The sower sows the word. These are the ones along the path where the word is sown. When they hear, Satan immediately comes and takes away the word that is sown in them. And these are the ones sown on rocky ground, the ones who, when they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, but endure for a while. Then when tribulation or persecution arises on account of the word, immediately they fall away. And others are the ones sown among thorns. They are the ones who hear the word, but the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches and the desires for other things enter in and choke the word. It proves unfaithful, or rather unfruitful. But those that were sown on the good soil are the ones who hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. For the next 8 Sunday mornings, we're going to look at the parables of Jesus during the months of May and June. Jesus taught 37 parables. 35% of the Gospels are parables. And he taught 37 of them. We're going to look at 9 over the course of the next 8 Sundays and kind of see what is he trying to tell us about life and about our spiritual life from the parables. So let's look. First of all, number one on your outline, verses 1 and 2, let's look at the parables of Jesus. The Bible tells us that Jesus began to teach by the Sea of Galilee. And in the book of Mark, there are three major teaching discourses, sections. Each one of those three have three parables each. Now, in order to understand Jesus' teaching, you've got to understand the parables. I was my first year in college. I was at Oklahoma Baptist University. I was taking a New Testament course, and the professor, who's very well known and very revered for many, many years at OBU, she would say, it almost got to the point where students just kind of made a joke out of it because she said it so much. She said, "You've got to know the parables. If you do not understand the parables, you'll never understand the teaching of Jesus." They're important. The parable this morning is the only parable that appears in all three synoptic gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Only one. So there's something about what we're going to talk about today that the disciples latched onto that all three of them said, "I've got to record this." Now, Jesus told us why he spoke in parables. He's actually quoting Isaiah chapter 6, verses 9 and 10. He said, I'm speaking to you in parables so those inside the kingdom can understand and those outside the kingdom will be confused. Wait a minute, what? Why would he want those outside the kingdom to be confused? You see, you and I, we have this mindset of, oh, we want everybody out there to follow Jesus, as many as we can. Jesus never had that approach. Never. His approach was, you want to follow me? Come on. If you don't, it's your choice. But if you do, it's going to cost you everything. So he said, I'm spoken parables, so those outside the kingdom would literally scratch their heads. But those inside would get it. Now, parables are not illustrations. Illustrations explain the point for you. Parables, you have to connect the dots. A lot of times people think, well, he's giving illustration. No, he's not giving illustration. Illustration tells you the point right up front. It draws the connection for you. Parables, you have to connect the dots to what he's saying. Parables, as a generalization, they're an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. And most of them were taken from everyday aspects of life. Everybody would be familiar with them. Sometimes they were in the form of short stories. Sometimes they were in the form of analogies. Sometimes they were in the form of similes or metaphors. Sometimes in the form of a proverb. But they're always, Jesus wasn't the first. The rabbis used parables, but Jesus took that teaching form and became a master at it. Parables are kind of like this. They start out with a picture. A man's sowing seed in a field. Okay. And then they turn from a picture into a mirror where you're looking at yourself. I wonder what kind of soil my heart is. And then they turn from a mirror into a window, into God's heart and God's kingdom. Picture, mirror, and window. So let's start looking at them. Number two on your outline, let's look at the sower and the soil. The Bible tells us that Jesus was beside the Sea of Galilee and a large crowd gathered to hear him teach because he was so good. They came from as far south as Jerusalem and Judean desert and all the way as far west as the Mediterranean Sea and all the way far north as Dan and Mount Hermon and the Golan Heights. They came from everywhere. And they gathered there around the the sea to hear Jesus teach. And the Bible said that the crowd was too large. They couldn't hear. So Jesus got into what was called a ploion in Greek, a fishing boat, and he pushed out a little ways from the shore. They stood on the sea, beside the sea, on the land. Jesus was on the sea in a boat, and the boat became his pulpit, and he began to teach them. And whenever he taught, he began to say, look, listen, a sower went out to sow. Now, that the region in which Jesus was teaching, in fact, was your picture earlier on the main graphic, was a picture of that location. It was known for sowing seeds and growing grain, crops. So a lot of theologians believe Jesus is standing there on the boat, and he goes, listen, let me get your attention. Look over here. And they look, and there's a man out there sowing seed. He didn't go to church that day. He's sowing seed. And he says, my word is kind of like that. Now, there were two ways of sowing seed in those days. They would either walk and take it out of a pouch and just, as they walked, throw it, and wherever the seed landed, hopefully it grew. Second way was a little more lazy way. They would sometimes put seeds in a sack, cut the corner of the sack, throw it over their shoulder, and just walk. Sometimes they'd put the sack on the back of a burro or an animal, and the animal would walk, and seed would go everywhere. Now, you and I, we today, there are different sowing techniques. It's more precise today. You have optimized soil, and you have seeds planted at a uniform rate, and you have seeds planted exactly the right distance apart from each other and not too close together, and you have seeds that are not too deep, only a quarter to a half inch deep, and you have precise seeding equipment pulled by high-tech air-conditioned tractors. Totally different today. They would just walk, and the seed went everywhere. So Jesus in his sermon said, as the seed falls, it falls on four kinds of soil. First of all, it falls along the hard path. He says seed will fall, and it falls on the path. The birds come and devour it and take it away. Back in biblical days, they didn't have fences around their land, their property, and there were long, narrow strips of good land, good ground. On the side, on either side of the long, narrow strips would be where people would pass through walking, going to the next town. And so they would be on either side of it, and so it formed a hard path, just like a dirt hard path. And so they would throw the seed, and Jesus said, sometimes that seed would fall on that hard path, and a bird would come along and grab it and go on. And he said, number two, there was rocky soil that the seed would fall in. Sometimes the seed would fall on rocky ground. There's not much soil. It would spring up quickly. It would die quickly because there was no depth. Now, back in Israel, there would be along the good ground, there would be a narrow strip of good dirt right on top of a hard rock base, limestone rock. If you've ever been to Israel, there are a lot of rocks over there. If they could figure out a way to make money on those rocks, they'd be wealthy. But there would be a small strip of good dirt on top of that rock. So sometimes the seed, as they would just throw it, would fall on that very narrow strip of good, and it would grow for a moment. It would sprout. But it didn't have any roots because it was rock. So it would grow just a little bit, and then a hot Palestinian sun would 120 degrees, and it just died. But he said there was a third soil, the soil among thorns. Sometimes, he said, the seed would fall, and it looked like good ground. But you didn't know it. It was deceptive. It looked like good ground, but underneath was couch grass and bishop weeds and perennial pests. There were weeds, and they were strong, and they grew fast. And so the good seed would have enough roots, and it would take root, and it would sprout. But all of these weeds would overtake it and choke it out. So the good seed couldn't grow. And then there's a fourth kind. It was the good soil. They would throw seeds, and it would fall into good soil and grow and produce fruit and grain 30 times, 60 times, 100 times. It's beautiful. And then Jesus said, amen. See y'all next time. And that was the end of the sermon. Don't you wish my sermons are that short? It's over. Everybody went back home. I can imagine a man leaving there. Let's call him Levi. And he went back down to Jerusalem where he's from. He got home, and his wife said, hey, you went to hear the young rabbi today preaching at the Sea of Galilee. How was it? He said, yeah, nothing special. Really? Yeah, I understand it. I don't know what he's talking about. They make all this fuss over him. I didn't think he was that good myself. Really? Nah. Very disappointing. Didn't get it. And I can imagine a second person walking away that day, and maybe a woman. Let's call her Abigail, and she went over to the Mediterranean where she's from. Somebody said, hey, did you go hear the young rabbi today? I did. How was it? It's great. I loved it. Really? Yeah, it's wonderful. In fact, I'm going to go back and hear more. And then weeks went by, and months went by, and years went by, and Abigail never went back to hear. And I can imagine a third person walking away that day after hearing him, and he lived up in Dan, and let's call him Reuben. Good Jewish name. Reuben got home. Did you go hear the rabbi today? I did. Hey, wait a minute. How's our business doing? Oh, it's doing fine. Good, good. What'd you say? I said, did you go hear the rabbi? Oh, yeah, I did. How was it? It's good. Enjoyed it. Really. Yeah, now, wait a minute. On our business, I think we might need to diversify our assets. Well, okay, we can do that. That's fine. Tell me about the rabbi. Oh, the rabbi. Yeah, he was good. He was good. Now, I'll tell you what. On our business, we might need to look into how we advertise better. He liked it. It's just that other things are more important. Well, I can imagine a fourth lady walking away that day. Let's call her Ella, another good Jewish name. She lived over at Capernaum. Did you hear the rabbi today? I heard you went to hear him speak. I did. What did you think? Well, whenever he spoke, something moved within me. I'm going back. In fact, I'm going back now. I'm giving up everything to follow. You see, each of those four reactions, what Jesus talked about, the hard path, didn't understand it. The rocky soil. That's good. I'm going to go back. Never show back up. The soil that has thorns. Yeah, it was good, but how's my business doing? I'm the good soil. So let's hear Jesus explain the parable. Number three on your outline, the parable explained. So the crowds had dispersed and had all gone home, and it's just Jesus and the 12 disciples, and they went into a room. And the disciples said, Jesus, we have a question for you. That story about the sower, we didn't get it. You didn't get it? No, we didn't get it. Could you explain it? Oh, no, wait a minute. Guys, that's the most basic parable I'm going to tell you. If you don't get that, how are you going to get the rest of them? Sorry, Lord, we didn't get it. Could you explain it? So he did. The only parable he explained. He said, all right. The seed that is sown, that is the Word of God.
That's the Bible. And whenever it is falls in different soils, that's your heart. Now, that first one that fell on the path, that was the devil, Satan. He was the bird that swooped in and grabbed that seed so it couldn't go in and germinate. He took it away from you. Every Sunday morning when I stand to preach, there are four kinds of hearts listening. Some of you have the hard heart. My words have no chance of penetrating your heart. It's too hard. Maybe you're here because somebody wanted you to come. You're here to see somebody baptized, or you're here for whatever reason. But your heart is not the reason why you came. And I will preach, and you're sitting there skeptical, suspicious, maybe a little angry, pessimistic, cynical, negative. And whenever I say something that might pique your interest, the Satan comes along. He comes along and swoops the seed away. Somebody will move. You get distracted and watch them. Somebody get up and walk out. You watch them walk out. Oh, they're walking. They're walking out. I say, well, they're going to the restroom again. And the enemy comes along and gets your attention. Because he doesn't want the word. He doesn't want the word here. Jesus said the second soil is the rocky soil. You receive the word for a moment, but there's no root, so it quickly leaves. Every church I've ever preached in, I've had these. I preach, they show up for the first time. Oh, Pastor, I love that. That was wonderful. I love the singing. I love the sermon. I loved it. That was wonderful. I can't wait to come back. And they post on social media, oh, I love the church I went to today. Everybody gets a like. And 6 weeks later, you can't find them. They're gone. It's happened every church I've been in. Still happens now. 2 months, they're here. And they're gone. Never come back. What happened? Well, they received the word for a moment. Excited for a while, but there was no root. Sun got hot, things began to happen. They left. Folks, that's why it's really important to dig roots down spiritually. Read your Bible every day. Pray every day. Get active in a local church. Dig those roots deep so that your seed remains. And then there was a third kind of soil, Jesus said, soil among thorns. Those are the ones that receive the word, and they like it, and it begins to grow. But all the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches, all are those weeds, and they begin to choke it out where there's not even any spiritual life. Happens all the time when I preach. Pastor, oh, I love the sermon was so good. And they like the sermon, and they like the service, and they love the music, and they like me, and they like you, and they like the Sunday school teacher. But life begins to overcrowd their spiritual life. Choke it out. They're not against me. They're not against the Bible. They're not against this. They believe it. It's just that, well, life happens. And it just chokes out that good seed. And they'd rather spend the weekend at the lake than going to church. It's that simple. It's my only day off. I've got to rest. I'm tired. That's the only day I have. That's me day. And I'm going to go to the lake. Something else I've seen through the years
young families of a child, and that child, he shows a little talent or she shows a little talent, oh my goodness, they're going to be the next pitcher for the Texas Rangers. So we've got to follow that select team. I mean, we're everywhere, all over the Metroplex. And every Sunday, we're going somewhere. And we do it for years. We're not against this. Oh, this is good. We like it. It's just that, well, this is our chance. And he's going to be a star. And she's going to be on American Idol. I just know it. And Johnny doesn't play for the Rangers. And she's not on American Idol. And they call us and say, Pastor, I can't get my child interested in the things of God now that they're an adult. Where did I go wrong? That seed was choked by weeds. And I promise you, the devil will send anything into your life and anything into your family to try to keep you out of here. He'll give you a new job. He'll give you whatever you want if you keep your family out of here. I see it all the time. And Jesus said there was a fourth soil, the good soil. It falls in, and it takes root, and fruit comes out. 130-fold, 60-fold, 100-fold. Now, the seed's the same. The seed never changed. It's not the seed that's the problem. It's the soil that's the problem. And that's why some get it and some don't. Out of four kinds of hearts, how many of them were good? One. One. Three out of four. Not good. Now, I want you to notice how Jesus began the sermon and how he ended the sermon. I want you to notice this. He began the sermon by saying, listen, got their attention. And he ended the sermon by saying, he who has ears to hear, hear. So he began the sermon and ended the sermon with, listen. Present, active, imperative, vakuo. Command. Listen to me. Because you see, he realized that not everybody who hears the word sown actually listens. Only some. This morning, maybe you're here, and this went in your ears, but you didn't hear it. It went in here, but not here. So of those four soils, which one is yours? If you go to London, at the very height of elevation of the city, there's a beautiful old castle that's been there 1,400 years. It's sitting there. It's called St. Paul's Cathedral. It's actually an old Anglican church. You go up to Ludgate Hill. It's beautiful. It's at the, for 150 years, it was the tallest structure in all of London. And as you look at it, and many people visit it each year, 365 feet high, and it's beautiful, and it's a tourist attraction. But the reason why most people go is to see the beautiful architecture by Christopher Wren. But also, there's something else that's inside the castle people like to see. You walk in, and you walk up 257 steps up a stairway, and you come to this long, circular hallway. It surrounds the interior of the dome, which is still the highest dome in all of London. And the dome is designed in such a way, in the hallway that surrounds it, designed in such a way that the acoustical properties are unique.
You can stand on one end of the hallway and whisper. And 108 feet around, somebody else can stand and hear very clearly and very distinctly your whisper. It's called the Whispering Gallery of St. Paul's Cathedral. And the reason it does it, the angles are so slight that whenever the sound waves go around, they bounce around in such frequency in the circular dome that only a faint whisper can be heard all the way across the hallway. The Whispering Gallery. And my prayer is that this building becomes and church becomes a whispering gallery. That all our Father has to do is whisper. And we are so attuned to Him. And our hearts are the good soil that's so ready to receive it and obey it. All He has to do is whisper. And we hear. Father, thank you today for your word, and thank you for how the seed goes forth as the word. And Lord, I just thank you for those today that heard it and received it. God, I want to pray especially for those today that had the hard path and they didn't receive it. Pray for those, Father, with cares of the world that's so hanging over them. Pray for those with no depth of soil, Lord. I just pray that you'd help us to be the people you want us to be. And every single time you say something from this book, all you have to do is whisper it, and we'll hear. Attune our hearts to be good soil, where we'll be a church like that. In Jesus' name I pray.